Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Venture Vitals, which is a Celestina's podcast, a podcast about all health tech, med tech, data, startups, interoperability, what's next in healthcare, what's the next big thing. It's for everybody who either wants or is working on a startup in the health arena or is an investor and perhaps would like to invest and bet on the right horse. And it's my pleasure to, together with Evgeny, to welcome today Marco and Jonas from Rook Startup, a Celestinas from 2024 spring batch. Hello, guys. Hello, Evgeny.
Yes, hi everyone. And we don't know whether you listen to this or watch this the digital health important podcast, but we encourage you to like and subscribe to our channel. This is all very important to share the best and the values about digital health. And as Tomas said, today we have a fantastic team from Rook, Mark and Jonas. And Mark and Jonas, tell us, please, what is Rook?
Yeah, of course. First of all, thank you very much. Super excited to be here and be part of Calisthenics during the last batch. Lot of learnings. But yeah, just to go first of all the things that we are doing, we in Rook, we enable any brand to use the wearables information. So basically, these beauties, these wearables, if any company want to integrate the data from the end users, they have to integrate one by one. Instead, to do that, they only have to integrate our API, and then they will have access to 300 wearables. And even more important, we make sense of all the data. We standardize, normalize all the information so they can use it in a very easy way in one endpoint. So we are an API solution, and it's great. It's great.
Yeah, this sounds easy. So currently, if you can notice, I have two variables of this AirPods and my something on a wrist wristband. And so maybe if I want to be healthiest, I should wear like another 100. But obviously, if we go to the future, so the more we probably will be having more and more different variables. So, and even these two guys already, this one sometimes tell me it's too noisy, so for your health. So,
Exactly.
and this device also tracks something regarding my health. And so I can envision that there are much more, if you say, devices that directly related to health, and with your solution, they can talk one language, right? So it's kind of rather than other different voices, yeah.
On that same note, actually, even the phone starts to become always more and more almost like a wearable device. So everything becomes wearable tech and health tech because it starts tracking health data in different forms. And yeah, the main core value that Rook provides is really like instead of having to integrate one by one all the devices, you get all of them through one single integration. So you have one single stakeholder to talk to, which would be Rook, and all integration goes through Rook. And then, yeah, all the data is standardized, so it's speaking the same language as you just said. Helping, obviously, to then facilitate the interoperability into different ecosystems where the data has a lot of value.
And definitely, as you said, Evgeny, now wearables become more accurate. You find a new wearable each month, different type of wearables. We have already at this point the Whoop, the Aura, Polar, Garmin, soon to Huawei, WeThings, Eightsleep. There's a lot of wearables outside, but also there's new startups that are building new and incredible wearables that will measure different type of assets of or biomarkers. So I think we are in a very good situation, very good moment right now, trying to extract all these data 24/7 hours and try to use it for different purposes. And definitely one of them is how we can impact in a better way the health of people's lives. So we are in a very good moment at this point.
Oh, guys, it sounds exciting, wearables. And I'm sure in the future there might come edibles or drinkables or something that will even dig deeper into our bodies, and still there'll be lots of stuff, lots of devices. But maybe at the beginning, let's start at the beginning, as the famous opening of Lewis Carroll's book goes. So what's your personal journey to this podcast, to Rook, and suddenly doing something that is intangible? You know, when you were explaining this, what you do to your grandmother, I'm sure, you know, most people find it hard to imagine API or kind of something that connects, is not visible, it's just code. So what was your journey to, you know, Marco, to Miami and Rook, and just code, you know, not a cool gadget, really, you know, for your friends and peers, but something mysterious.
Yeah, of course. I can start. I'm Marco Benitez. I'm one of the co-founders. I'm the CEO. And my background, I'm from Mexico. Now living here in Miami, but I am original from Mexico. I study biomedical engineer. I love data. I love this area. That's why on 2002 or something or so, we create our first startup. So this is my second startup. My first startup also was around data, and we get an exit in 2006. In fact, it was with one of our co-founders. He's the CTO, Daniel Martinez. He's also our co-founder, friend. We know each other since, I don't know, 20 years ago. A lot of stories we have together. He's a great, great friend, but also he's biomedical engineer. He has a second degree in biomedics and also machine learning, and he's doing great. After our first startup, I start to work in big pharma, again, in data, in clinical trials. So love the area. I started in GSK, and then my last job was in Roche as head of medical affairs. So I have the lucky to work in clinical trials. Clinical trial from phase one to phase four in different diseases like oncology, respiratory, vaccines. So a lot of diseases, very interesting the way the clinical trial is developed. So a lot of learnings. First of all, when you work in a very big enterprise, help you to be more structured, to understand how to manage all the people, because it's very difficult. At the end of the day, a company is nothing without people. So you have to learn how to speak with people, how you know, it's how to create everything together. That helped me a lot to understand all the first steps to build Rook. So yeah, I think I was in the big pharma industry the last, I don't know, 12 years, 10 years, more or less. And again, surprisingly, when you have a lot of data, you can create things, but even more important, you can improve people's lives. That's why we start to build Rook together. And also my passion is I'm a sport guy. My background, I'm Taekwondo in guy for Latin America. So love the boxing, the Taekwondo, all these, you know, contact sports, it's my passion. So yeah, now here in Rook, building this great ecosystem. And yeah, Jonas, your turn.
Yeah, Jonas, COO here at Rook, born and raised in Germany. My background has been in the startup world, so I've never been through that kind of corporate journey. I started out with a startup in the fitness tech space out of Amsterdam. We opened operations down in Colombia and sold from there to the US market. That kind of started off my journey through Latin America. So I've been spending the last 9-10 years in Latin America. Came down first to Colombia with that startup. I then joined as first hire another startup, again in the fitness tech space, this time out of Peru and for the Latin American market. So we were bringing the solution to the Latin American market, expanding across Chile, Argentina, and then eventually as well Mexico. And when we opened offices in Mexico and I moved to Mexico, I had the chance to meet Marco and Dan and the other guys. So we got to know each other in Mexico City back in the time. And after getting to know each other for about like 2 years, we then decided to build Rook together. So we started out of Mexico City, But today we're a C Corp Delaware company headquartered in Miami. We still have the team split a little bit between the US and Latin America. So we have mostly the tech and product team sitting down in Latin America, while the market facing team around marketing, sales, and growth operations we're building out in the US. And to come back a little bit to the question around like why something so abstract, why is something such an intangible product? We actually started out with a different solution in the fitness tech space again. And it was a real-time heart rate checking solution. So we had our own hardware device, even like heart rate monitors you would put on the chest, you would put on the arm for group fitness classes. So you would go into a group fitness class, you put on that hardware sensor, and then on a big screen, you can see your heart rate, your intensity zone, your effort that you applied during that fitness class. And the coach could guide you, we could build competitions, etc. And at one point we said, okay, we have to change something here. Like we can't use our own hardware. Everyone has already a Garmin, an Apple Watch, a Whoop on their wrists. Why should they use yet another hardware device just for heart rate tracking? And that's when we started to integrate into that SaaS product different devices and figure out this wearable market is super, super fragmented. And then started solving that for our own product. And then suddenly someone was knocking on the door outside of fitness, companies in insurance, companies in health. And we're like, how did you become so wearable agnostic? Like, what did you do to be able to sync the data from all these devices and deal with all these different APIs and SDKs and integrations? And that's when it made click for us. And we said, oh, there's something very interesting here around that aggregation play of wearable data. And that then eventually through accelerator programs and iterations and mentoring and a lot of back and forth eventually ended up being our new business model and product that we've been building the last 2 years now. And that's what we today know as Rook. So no sexy device, just a sexy API.
That's a great point, great story. Another question is, you mentioned all these countries like Germany, Colombia, Mexico, and now you are in the United States. All the team, at least three people, yes, friends. How come? So why US? And could you tell me? So should we all go to the? Yeah.
No, definitely. I think it was a natural step for our API. US, it's a huge market in terms of everything, health system, insurance, fitness. There is a lot of things happening at the same time here in the US. And our first clients came from the US, which for us also was very surprising. Definitely, we have in our minds to came to the US. But again, I think the accelerator was like the couple of clients at the very beginning we have. So that's why we start to move here. And we feel and we saw a lot of interest from companies here in the US. But even though that our main market is the US, also we have different type of clients from all over the places because we are HIPAA GDPR compliant. We have clients in Europe, but also in Latin America because of our language and also because we have, the same culture over there. So again, for us was very easy to have not only the US as the first industry, the first place to came to with our solution, but also Europe and Latin America. But again, US, it's very interesting. There is a lot of things to do. At the end of the day, it's very important to find ways to impact in a very positive way the end user's health. So we have here good partnerships. We have all of our investors mainly. Not all of them, but some of our investors are based here in the US, which that also helps us a lot to understand more the market that we are targeting.
Maybe
I don't know, Jonas. Sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Jonas, what was the biggest challenge in starting a startup or relocating from Germany to wherever, Colombia, Mexico, and now currently in the US. Maybe, there are some other guys and startups that are told the same thing. If you want to make it, you need to move, relocate to the US, and provided you have no kids and families and mortgages and stuff, it's quite a viable option. But maybe you could give some valuable lessons to those that just want to move to Silicon Valley or East Coast, West Coast. Also, Miami sounds great, but I so far I have not heard it from here from Central Europe, like such a suggestion, go to Miami. So maybe you could share some lessons. I know Jonas is not in Miami, but in California. So maybe you could share, both of you, some thinking behind it and some lessons from actually setting up a presence in the US.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's easy. I don't have family. I don't have kids. So that makes it easier. Mark can tell a bit more about how it is to move with the whole family. I mean, in my personal journey, I had the opportunity, obviously, to through the startup world to move a lot. So from Germany to Amsterdam to Colombia, Peru, Mexico City, and then the US right now. In this journey in particular, now with Rook, we had the opportunity to move from Mexico into the US, which is obviously kind of like a big move in terms of culture, because there is a shock between coming from Latin American country with the US and having those combinations of like people from both sides. But generally speaking, I think it's the right move for most of the startups, especially from Latin America, that want to have a more international presence, just because there's obviously plenty of opportunity being in the US, be it from the investor side, acceleration programs, just the whole ecosystem is a lot more developed. And then for us, Miami was a very logical next step, because Miami is very Latino friendly and it's a very good kind of soft landing space. So there's a few places in the US, obviously, that are huge ecosystems for startups. The one thing that stood out for us was Miami and the Florida ecosystem was it's very Latino friendly. So having a mixed team of Latinos and people from the US, Miami was just a great place for us to get started. And then we do have some clients down in Latin America, plus kind of internationally through the like in the European market. So Miami is kind of this interesting melting hub. And especially after the pandemic or throughout the pandemic, Miami just got so accelerated on that startup track. It's like super exciting. It's a very vibrant ecosystem. We get people from all over the world. And then a lot of Europeans that came to Miami, a lot of the Spanish people, a lot of like the Latin American, obviously we always say Miami is the capital of Latin America, right? So it's been just a really good kind of soft landing spot for us. But yeah, it comes with challenges always, like relocating comes with challenges from the legal perspective, opening the company in the US, setting up bank accounts, making eventually even a flip. So we did a flip. We closed the Mexican entity and we moved everything to the US entity so that it's all centralized on that C Corp Delaware that we have, which is obviously important for investors from the US, because they don't like to invest into companies that then have subsidiaries in other countries outside maybe of the US. So it comes with its challenges, but it has many, many positive benefits. So always would recommend that. On a personal journey, it's always interesting. Obviously changing countries and building something new is just super great as well. And Marco can share a bit more how that is with like moving with the whole family. That's for sure more stressful than what I had to do.
No. I mean, life is a challenge. And we are very, very happy, very excited to live here in Miami. Miami, it's like a very, as Jonas said before, it's very Latin American friendly. But not only with Latin America, I can say that it's a very multicultural, you know, people here. You can find everything. And it's the door for Latin America, it's the door for the US market, it's the door for European markets. So you find here in Miami a lot of companies from Europe, from the US, of course, from Latin America. That mix helps a lot to build a very good ecosystem. Something also that happened during the pandemic is all the people from New York came to the US, sorry, to Miami, and then from California moved also to Miami. So the ecosystem is growing so much. Right now, Miami, I can tell you, is very hot and it's growing, the VC, the investment and everything. So a lot of founders, a lot of investments, a lot of, you know, we have Messi here. We have, you know, all these big players in sports games. So it's growing in a very good way. And that impact to have a quality of life here. You have very good places to live. US is very expensive. That's not a, there's no doubt about that. However, it's very interesting how it's growing the complete ecosystem, and you find very good talent people here also. So I think it was a very good move from our side. And yeah, moving with kids and with my spouse was very, as always, it's challenging. The first year, the year is the most difficult one. However, we are super happy. It's plenty of different kind of things. I love Mexico. Believe me, I love Mexico. But right now we have a very plenty life here. So it's very interesting, the growth for my kids and everything. So yeah.
Great. Mark, Jonas, thanks for sharing this. And for our listeners, you can hear that it's not only about usual suspects like California or Texas or Boston. So it's also Miami hotspot for startups and even in digital health. Thanks for sharing this. Maybe we interested, we need to have to set up a meetup in Miami now, not only Boston. I have another question, and yeah, just to remind, it's our digital health related podcast, and a lot of startups that are thinking about digital health, they often scare about all these challenges related to digital health, for example, all this regulation and certification. And the United States is obviously FDA, which scares a lot. And could you please share if you faced, if do you need FDA in your startup? And if yes, how was your journey?
Yeah, on our case, we don't need FDA. However, there are some regulations that we have to be very aligned with FDA, for example, HIPAA, where we have to anonymize all this data. And because we use and we manage all the data from our clients, we have to manage that in a very good way, secure way. So definitely, I can tell you it's challenging for any startup that have to accomplish with all the regulations, because there is a lot outside. Of course, you have HIPAA, but you have SOC 2, you have GDPR, which is also challenging. So I can tell you that it's important. It's super important, because it's how we secure the data from our clients. So it's not easy. It's not easy. The way we develop, the way we are doing this, is with partnerships that we have in place. We came from different accelerator programs with different advisors, and some of them already have this background on security. So they start to help us on how to build our product on top of these regulations. Then when you start to raise money, that helps you also to bring, you know, companies, partnerships, and start to help more to all the process, to have the process in place and deliver the data the way we have to. So it's a process. I can tell you it's not something around one thing. I believe it's too many things at the same time. As we say, as always, bring the smartest people to the table, and then we can figure out the next steps. That's the best way to move forward. It's bringing the best people you can, and then you build everything. Jonas, I'm sure Jonas want to, yeah.
Just to add a little bit here. So obviously in the digital health space, regulations might be a little bit more strict than in other verticals. So being mindful of that when you start in that space is very important, because timelines can become a little bit longer, right? In terms of the product needs to have certain kind of security measurements. There has to be ways to encrypt the data, de-identify the data, et cetera. There's a lot of different barriers that have to be overcome that make just the whole development process of a product in the digital health space a lot longer. So I think it's just important to be mindful of these things. And as more you know and are aware of what needs to happen, and that's what Marco just said, right? We had great advisors, mentors, and a lot of help, even outsourced solutions, third parties that we've worked with that help us become HIPAA, GDPR compliant, et cetera. As more as you are aware of what needs to happen, you can obviously plan for this, but this has an effect on all aspects of the startup, because longer development cycles means it needs more money. You need more money in the beginning to build out the product. It requires more time to go to market. You might face a lot of more challenges when it comes to particular regulations or needs of companies in different geographic locations, even that then require dedicated servers, and the data is not allowed to travel to certain regions, etc. So like, it definitely comes with a lot of challenges. But if as more as you can be aware of these different aspects, the better you can prepare. And that goes from fundraising to sales cycle, go to market side, to then the actual product development, etc. Because it does have an effect or an impact on all fronts for sure. Yeah.
So guys, I'm just thinking about this. If I am like a big wheel, like Apple or Samsung or Garmin, and suddenly I get a call from Marco Jonas, hey, can we connect to you? You know, have this API, please. We just want to make business out of the data you generate. Is that something that is, you know, easy? They said yes. We can provide you with anything. How do you find working with those large, you know, corporations, asking them, please allow us to connect to our new startup? Has that been very smooth, easy? Have you had to work on that for years or months? Or do you know someone who works there? You know, what's the, me personally, I might be like kind of intimidated, me, nobody, suddenly, you know, working in partnership with the big names. So have you had such issues, or you know, or was that very natural for you to just walk in and say, please, I'm your future, basically?
maybe I can start. Something important, as Jenna said at the very beginning, we already have some relationships with some data sources, because we start to integrate the APIs and different stuff for our own technology before our own platform. So definitely at the very beginning, it's challenging because you have to navigate through all this information that you can find in the web. And of course, there is some data sources that they have an API available. So the only thing you have to do is integrate that information in your own platform. So some of them are using these free APIs, other ones they have free documentation, and other ones they have a paywall. So there's a different ways how you can use and start to build on top of what these providers already have. Of course, there is some data sources that also you have to build a relationship to with them and try to tell them why you are extracting the data from, or trying to extract the data from those devices. And every single time, it's like, I think the ecosystem also is growing. These devices are trying to open more source, because some of them want that this type of enterprises or companies are alive to use the data, because they are more like manufacturers. They are hardware creators rather than, you know, data scientist companies. So on our case, we use all these data and try to bring in more value to these companies, or trying to pass these data in a very easy way so they can use it for different purposes. So definitely, yes, every single time that we have a new data source acquisition, definitely there's too many ways we can approach to that front.
Marco Jonas, maybe I will follow up this question. How do you find new customers? What is your like maybe go to market way? It's again very challenging question for almost every digital health that are like B2B. Because yeah, you mentioned relationships, you mentioned some partnerships. So what do you think is important this business to be successful, to actually to find customers? Maybe you can share some experience.
Yeah, so the go-to-market mix that we have is, as I said, it's a mix for sure. So we have different angles of how we approach this. I think the one that most stand out for us is we work a lot with channel partnerships, so companies that already have a certain reach in the industry and that work already with many of the potential digital health platforms or companies that could benefit from our solution. These channel partnerships could be development agencies, for example. So we work a lot with product development agencies. And whenever there's a company in the digital health space coming to them, asking for wearable integration, wearable aggregation, then they can plug Roop into the equation and there's kind of like a revenue share commission model in place. Channel partnerships with companies in the interoperability space. So InterSystems for sure comes to mind, right? Like InterSystems, super, super excited for like this journey that we have ahead now with InterSystems, starting to work with InterSystems and through InterSystems reaching more of the potential clients of ours. We've done similar with other companies in that field, from Health Gorilla to Healthy. There's interoperability players in that space that we have been working with and that helped us get to potential client of ours. And then obviously the mix comes with going to the right events, so health tech events, being part of networking groups and discussion groups, be it on LinkedIn or like on this like Health Tech Nerds, which is a great group for like a Slack community. It's just building that kind of thought leadership around what we do as well, and like positioning us in all these different channels and positioning. And then just the normal, right? Like Google Ads. We get a lot of interesting inbound traffic by now as well, just by positioning us around wearable data aggregation, wearable data integration, wearable API. If you would Google these terms, you would find Roop today. So all that in its mix together is what is kind of getting us in front of the right people today. Yeah.
Jonas and Marco, maybe let's get into trouble, shall we? So I want to ask, what's your current biggest challenge? When I speak to startups, they usually either say it's people or money. Oh, maybe like product market fit. We don't think we are in line with where future is taking the world. So let me ask you, what's your biggest challenge at the moment? Does it fit into those columns, or is it something entirely different? Or are you one of those, we have no challenges at all, we just, you know, ride the wave?
Hopefully that would be true.
Yeah, we are a startup. We are always with a lot of challenges and troubles, and you know, I can tell you definitely find the correct people. It's something very, very difficult. Even though that we have a great team, we don't have a lot of turnover is correct. Yeah. We have a great team. We are 22-ish people working together. The last, I don't know, 3 years or so working all together. So it's very difficult to build a culture. And nowadays that everyone is remote, it's even more challenging, because before we have, you know, an office and we can, you know, build a relationship, everything together, and it's easier, you know. However, right now it's completely different, because you have to build trust in people that you only met in a video call. The last hires, we didn't have, like, until now, if I remember well, we don't have any in-person meeting yet. So however, build this type of culture, it's very difficult, but it's something that you have to navigate. I can tell you that it's the most important thing, and it's always challenging to bring great people to the table. And we are looking always and searching for these people every single time that we can. So yeah, as Jonas said, always, how do you say, Jonas, always pitching, always hiring? No, something like that.
Always pitching, always hiring. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's obviously two main challenges every startup faces. We always need more funding. That's the truth. It's a very complex product, which requires a lot of funding in order to build out the product, improve the product. So funding is always top of mind for us. Hiring, finding the right talent is always top of mind. And then you mentioned that in the beginning, Tomáš, it's like, it's a very intangible product that we have, like an API SDK solution. What does that even mean? Explaining this well and really understanding also where in that value chain is Rook fitting in is very challenging, because we always say like Rook is part of the solution to a problem, but Rook is never the full solution to a problem. I could repeat that in one more time and a little bit slower maybe, but like it's like we're just a little piece of the value chain. So maybe there's really great digital health startups coming to market that solve for massive problems in the obesity field or like in any of the chronic condition management. And wearable data aggregation integration might be a fundamental piece of that new product, but Rook only does that little piece. So like explaining, well, where does Rook really fit into the value composition for other companies in that field, sometimes is very challenging. But yeah, it's an exciting challenge at the same time, because it allows us to play in many different offerings, be part of health systems, but EHRs, but digital health startups, that we can play in the insurance tech space. Like this very, very interesting field that we're in. And this API SDK model is something that then can scale very, very interestingly, which is fun.
That's why also we are fans of Inter Systems, to be very honest. It's how you explain it. It's very difficult to pitch Inter Systems for us. At least for me, it's very difficult to say in one word all the things that you can do in Inter System, but also the way the people that it's inside, how they are so proud of all the things that you, that are building. When we were 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago on the Global Summit, for us was very interesting to learn more about InterSystem and the people that it's inside of InterSystem. The culture that InterSystems has is amazing. Believe me, I came from different enterprises and I never saw that before. And it's like everyone, I don't know, was a great community of all the developers working together and trying to build something different and chatting with you all, you know, hey, you can do this with the data. Now we can build that. And you only need this cloud and, you know, pass information through whatever, right? So it's like, for me, it was very exciting to see the culture, how everyone is so proud of all the things that are building inside of InterSystems. And how you normally pitch InterSystems is also the same thing. So for us is we feel very connected on that way because we are something like that. It's something intangible. It's something very, our case is very difficult to pitch. Now we are more comfortable, but at the very beginning was like, okay, how we are going to pitch what we are building, because we are a code. That's it. We are a code, we are implementing this, we have already all these wearables, then we have to make sense, but not everyone is going to understand this. When we pitch at the very beginning with different investors, it was a mess. All of them was like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't know what you are doing. So it was very difficult, it was very, very difficult. But now we feel very different, but however, it's a process. It's a process.
This is really great, and thanks for kind words about InterSystems. And you can see now that we in enterprise, we also we have challenges too, right? Yes, and we're also learning very much and from startups as well, so how to better pitch what you do. But I think regarding Rook pitch, I think this is getting really clear. So for example, today I said, hey, 300 devices, we integrate 300 devices. That's and I can imagine all this mess of these devices that is being organized with Rook. Yeah. So this is great. And Jonas, you mentioned that you can constantly like pitching and fundraising. So now I refer to investors part of our audience. So I believe they are there, and let's please share to them. Are you raising now? If you need funder fundraising, and actually another question: what is your exit plan? Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I can start with the of course I can start with the fundraising part. We are raising 1 million right now, which we already have 750K already committed. So we are in the last, you know, chunk. So it's just available the 250,000. We are very excited. At the end of the day, we are building something very interesting with the data. We are using this investment for that front. And yeah, everyone who can be interested, please let us know. We will be more than happy to have a call and to show you more what we are building. And in terms of exit, definitely on ours, we have an idea that could be like an acquisition for the type of company that we are. Definitely, we are playing the long game, and we are building something interesting for different type of industries. However, we can see an acquisition at some point from a big company that want to integrate all these wearables on one side and focus all the efforts, because we already have the structure to do this. So that's the easy way to say it.
Yeah, a good reference actually for the exit strategy. Mm-hmm. A similar company in that field that we're in is Human API. So they paved a little bit the way of this API aggregation play in healthcare and insurance. They got bought last year from a big insurance company. I think it was between 300 and 400 million. Our ambition is obviously surpassing what Human API paved the way for, and we want to go a bit bigger. But that's, yeah, very likely a bigger insurance company, a bigger interoperability player, maybe an electronic health records company. That's kind of like the most potential kind of acquirer of something that we are doing further down the road.
Well, guys, I'm sure you have tens, hundreds of other investors by the time we finish speaking, of course. I'm actually thinking about, would you accept like a 10K from me as an angel just to be part of this wave?
Of course.
Okay.
Definitely, yes.
Welcome on board the podcast. But I'm, when I see you again and think about the product, it's just amazing. And as Europe might be on track for you quite soon, I'm happy to, prepare the ground and make it a success worldwide. But my question right now is, people like to think about the future. Usually people are afraid of the future because it's the unknown. It means change. It means I might not be in the same shape for that world that is to come. And my question is, what do you expect, like in 5 years, that's the usual horizon, what's going to happen in the arena of wearables and health tech and health data, and the way they actually also lead our lives? Some people actually rely on the data to tell them what to do. They can't decide for themselves, but we outsource this. Tell me what to do. Tell me what I should do. Should I stand up, go for a run, do nothing, eat this, eat that? What is your vision of the future 5 years from now? Is it going to be, are we going to be managed by data and artificial intelligence, which is data again and algorithms? Or is there something else awaiting us behind the corner?
Yeah, definitely. This is a very interesting topic. We are fans of the predictive preventive. Everything about prevention is where we love to be. Because at the end of the day, are decisions that make you a better person. It's a decision today if you want to take a donut or take a complete breakfast with a couple of eggs and, your coffee or whatever. But it's only one decision that will make you a different type of person in the future. So decisions today are going to impact in your future. So definitely having good habits and everything, that's where we want to impact, to try to predict, try to make this type of preventions. That's why we are also fans of Medicine 3.0, which is everything around prevention. And definitely the future came with artificial intelligence. All this data now is the moment to make sense of all this information that we have outside, that is from, different places. Now to put everything in one place is the most important thing, and try to do something with that information. And again, that came with prevention, and that with prediction. If you take this decision today, will impact you in the future in that way. So I can tell you that this is something that we are living right now. We start to see this type of applications, this type of platforms, or even with your doctor. You will go with your physician, with your doctor, and try to help you in some way. They can tell you, hey, if you take this decision, will impact you in this in your future. So definitely it's all around make the correct decision today. With all the information that we have from different type of people, from, you know, that's all around this type of things in the future.
Just to add a little bit, I think we're really at this exciting point where we have now, we have all the wearable devices, we will get more devices, more of these devices become FDA cleared, so they become medical devices. And the beauty of these devices, we have 24/7 data, so we have continuous data coming in. And this paired with now that we have CPT codes moving towards reimbursable services for prediction, prevention, early detection. This all in its mix together is just super exciting for us because that's then opening the doors for like a real medicine 3.0, where we have prevention as the key cornerstone in our healthcare system and not reactive kind of healthcare. And I think wearable data is just of tremendous value on that front, on that early prediction, prevention, condition management, because there is no other device that will generate 24/7 health data. And then with these new intelligence that we're starting to feel like all what's happening right now with AI is just in its baby steps almost still. Like there's so much more still to come. So now pairing 24/7 data, which gets medical device level accuracy with that intelligence of AI. That's a massive opportunity in terms of really impacting positive in people's lives. And we're super pumped about that. Yeah. Super, super excited.
Yes, Marco, Jonas, thank you so much. To be honest, I was hoping that we will have the interview without any question about AI, but we did it. So, anyway, this was an amazing interview, and could you maybe share with our audience, for those that are like entrepreneurs that are thinking, or maybe just team just formed that are thinking to launch a startup, obviously in digital health, and could you share your advice of not why go, but the advice. What they need to have if they don't have it, just not even don't even start. I mean, something, could you please share something that is really, really important for a startup to go forward, and that is super important in a entrepreneur journey.
I'm going to kick us off on this one. You need to have a high tolerance for frustrations, a very high tolerance for frustrations. If you can't accept frustrations, if every frustration is leading you a downward path, don't even start. I think that's the first one from my end.
Quick interruption. Should you live in Miami then just to tolerate it better? Because when I see you guys, I cannot imagine any like frustration. So yeah, but thanks. That's important.
From my side is just do it. Do the step. Because everyone is doing like vision, dreaming, and vision without execution is nothing. So go ahead and do it. That's it.
And then just to add one other
Yeah.
one, I think we talked about it before, right? Marco mentioned team, 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 and every investor would always look for team, team, team. And sometimes it feels a little bit like cliche or stereotype, but like finding the right co-founders is super
Yeah.
important. I think, and we see this from different aspects. Being a solo founder is just super impossible almost. Like finding the right team of founders is super important. Combining expertise, combining backgrounds that can help you grow, that can help you also, like, which is just a shoulder to lean on if it gets tough on one end. It's just super important. So finding the right co-founders to get things started, and then mixing that up with a lot of, yeah, perseverance, discipline, high level of tolerance for frustration, but a big ambitious goal and dream. And like that teamwork spirit between the founders, I think that's kind of like the mix then that you need, or that it needs to get at least like from step to step. And then as more steps you do, you find a lot of answers you haven't had in the beginning. That's always the thing.
Keep
well, moving. Guys, it looks, it definitely is a journey. It's a way we can all serve. And I have to admit and agree with you, Evgeny, that you don't seem stressed at all. So it seems you have turned pretty professional, because it's one of the key abilities, you know, to convey, you know, it's just happiness and bliss. And we all know that startup life is just fighting unexpected turns of events. They'd always come in the wrongest of possible moments. And I'm sure our listeners, digital health startup founders, as well as investors, angels, VCs, today they got the hook from Rook, if I may use this obvious hook. Probably you get lots of exclamations like this one, but I was looking just for a nice and poetic way to end our interview, which has come to an end. It just said, I could spend ages chatting with you. I'm sure you're getting the same, but please don't forget to send me the contract for angel investors, the term sheet, and let's talk about that after we finish recording podcast. So, Evgeny, now your turn to wave and say goodbye, and perhaps also ask people to hit the subscribe button. I don't know if there is a subscribe button, but you know, all YouTubers and TikTokers use that, so I'm sure there must be one somewhere.
Yeah, there is always a like button everywhere, so please don't hesitate to like this podcast. And also, as you could see, we have some angel investment going on, and please don't hesitate to look at this information below in description and hit your angel investment button to Rook. Yes, and thank you. A lot of thanks to Mark and Jonas, and clearly your advertisement of entrepreneurship in digital health. So, so even all the frustration and all these challenges, they just make you look better and healthier. And we wish, with all the audience, we wish you luck in your journey, and we invite everyone to follow this digital health entrepreneurship and also invest in amazing, innovative digital health startups.
Thanks so much for having us.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Bye, guys. It's been great. And to all our listeners, we are looking forward to welcoming you back for our next episode of Venture Vitals by Celestinus. And enjoy the summer. Bye, guys.